Okay, so today is November 17th. Tell moderator Bree, recorder Bree, and Rochelle. Proposal checker is currently TBA. Team member of attending, David B. Current members, Bree,
And
C, me, Toes,
Rochelle, you always
DJ
leave me
Bree.
off the team. You always leave me off the team.
No, I prioritize you to the DAO, and I move you to the team when we don't have another team rep. We all know you're a part of the team.
Okay.
And if it seems predominantly Rochelle team talk, then I move you up to the team status. Two hats, girl.
Yes, today mostly team hat.
Okay, then I'll move you up. Fair enough. So, team members today, David and Rochelle. All right, announcement. The only announcement I really have, no, I should have two, I guess. I didn't write one down. I'm just thinking of it. The DAO Weekly Call is seeking an interested person to fill the role of proposal tracker. So, announcement number one, and I'll talk about the rest of that later. The second announcement is the hackathon application dev post is now active and taking applicants. Are there any other announcements? And I see Jesse. Hey. No other announcements? Okay. All right, proposals. The last time I checked, which was last night for me, there are no new proposals at this time. Effect Network Hackathon, number two continuation, or number three continuation, I've lost track. I don't know if I got that right. Anyway, it's processing and it's approved. That was 4 out of 4, I believe. Add Workers' Choice prize pool to the hackathon, that is processing and it was rejected. EFX Pancake Swap LP reward. Funding 4 out of 4. Sorry, it's processing and approved. Someone needs more sleep?
Oh, my bad. I didn't mute my mic.
Wake is all up there. Okay, is there anybody who plans to have any proposal going up in the next day or two, just out of curiosity? I do not.
Greetings. I also do not.
Hi, Ace. Audrey. Hi, Jesse.
Hey everyone, can you hear me now? Yeah, I'm a speaker. Cool. Good to be back. How are you all doing?
Good. Glad to see you.
Yeah, it's been a while. I missed a few times. It was some busy weeks.
Okay. All right. So that's proposal. So if nobody has any new one they want to talk about right now, we'll move on to team issues or questions or discussions. And so Jesse, you're here now. You weren't here last week, so I left this on. Do you have anything that you can share with us from Web Summit of interest or of any hints on any positive interactions, things like that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, so Web Summit was pretty cool. Yeah, it's massive. It was like full on. So the last few years they did it quite small because of Corona and all the regulations. But this time it was like full on. So it's huge, right? It's like I think there's like 80,000 people or 90,000 people at the conference at a time. And yeah, we actually had a booth for one day on the Thursday, which was quite intensive, but we had a lot of people come by, and we had these QR codes for getting people like signed up to the hackathon webpage. So that worked quite well. We had a lot of people come by. We had this demo application on two iPads and like a video playing demonstrating Effect Network. But yeah, loads and loads of positive interactions. I think we got quite some exposure, at least there with the people attending. It was me, Lawrence, and Gabi and Velika were at the stand most of the day. Other than that, we had many good meetings across Web Summit. Spoke to some companies that would like to participate in the hackathon, or at least use the SDK once it's sort of in beta. So we got a nice list there. Overall, I think it was quite successful. We had some really good conversations there, and I think a lot of companies are. Yeah, we were more pitching the hackathon and the SDK, but I think as soon as the SDK is there, we can really follow up on some leads that we made there.
That sounds good. So I had a look at the hackathon page last night on DevPost. I had to sign up and everything, and pretend I was some kind of designer just so I could get in and have a look. Although I'm not sure I would call myself a designer, actually. But it was the best choice for me. Anyway, it was quite interesting. And it was nice to see a few people already signed up that I didn't recognize or know and looked like they had some experience using DevPost already. Quite good. So hopefully there'll be more.
Yeah.
I'm sure there will be.
Yeah, there will be way more. I mean, we just only published the webpage for the hackathon on DevPost. So I don't even know how these people found it because we haven't, marketed it anywhere. But yeah, there should be some signups coming. So we're working on some press releases and posts. Also, we're going to be in the DevPost newsletter, which should be quite attract some participants as well. But of course, yeah, just spreading the message in different communities should really increase it. But at least the page is live, so now we can link to it and we can get the press release and everything written. What did you guys think of the page? Looks good. We can still change some info if you think there's should be some changes. But we really looked at all the professional hackathon pages and tried to make it the same style and feel because it's quite specific what works and what doesn't.
It seemed to feel similar to some of the other ones that I popped into. I'm not the expert on that, of course. It's not really my thing. But I did have a look at the prize pool amounts. And some of the projects that I'm aware of, the prize pool, of course, was higher, but they're also larger projects with more income coming in or with more investors, whichever. But I thought, for similar size looking thing projects, the prize pools looked quite reasonable, quite within par. So, yeah, it looked like it fit right in there to me.
Cool. Yeah, I think so as well. I think the prize pool is quite good. So I'm expecting a lot of interest from a lot of different communities just because of the prize pool. Also, we have a pretty epic hackathon team. So you can use the SDK to build your decentralized app. I think it's like for participants a really, really cool learning experience, but also really accessible and you can really build something cool out of it with a lot of potential. So I hope if we market it right, this could be a pretty epic hackathon.
Isn't that the key? Marketing it right.
It is, yes.
So, get on that.
You also have, third and through seventh place little prizes as well, right? The promising projects.
Yeah. So I was kind of struggling. I needed to get this page out because we wanted to be in the DevPost newsletter, and they had a deadline for it, and then they let us know quite a short period before before they did the newsletter that we had like 24 hours to finish it. So I had to do the prizes pretty quickly. But I figured first I just wanted to do one first, second, third place prizes for the DAO, which are just paid out in EFX. But then I was thinking like these projects are going to get a lot of EFX tokens, which kind of maybe too much, right? It will like they will definitely sell off those tokens, and I thought it's just they will get more EFX tokens than the first prize from the other pool because it's split in USDT. So that's why I thought let's spread it out a bit more, and we just do the like top seven teams, which I think makes sense. I think the numbers look better this way.
That sounds good. All right. Anything else you can fill out on that one?
Well, the hackathon, I think, is a big upcoming project now. So we're working really hard on finishing the SDK. The Blaze are still here, making sure that the SDK works well enough for the hackathon. So that's all going to be finished. We have until Tuesday. We're also working on all the guides and tutorials and quick starts and stuff like that to make sure people can, yeah, easily figure out by themselves how to program and how to create their apps and how to participate in the hackathon. But I think marketing will be an important part, making sure all the participants will, like, I hope for at least 400 participants. Like, if you look around the different hackathons, this prize pool, 400 participants should be doable. Other than that, I think we're pretty much ready for it. I mean, we have the content for the presentations that we're going to do. Of course, there's a lot to be done still. We're working on that voting system for the DAO, so you can vote on the project. But yeah, I think this current DevTest page is good as it is, and we're really ready for starting it. So of course, any input from your side and from the DAO side is very welcome. So, and anyone, just feel free to contribute and add initiatives. Or if anyone wants to be a manager or moderator during the hackathon, then that's also an open position. We have four developers here at the Effect office that will offer support. So we have the office hours where people have 2 hours a day guaranteed real-time support. And then there will always be 24 hours on any questions being posted by participants. But if anyone wants to be involved with managing participants and answering questions, then we can make you an official moderator during the dev post page. That's basically it.
About developing?
Sorry?
Do the moderators need to know anything about developing? Could it just be anybody moderating?
No, you have to know something about developing the SDK. Yeah, so it's...
That's all right. So I'm out then. Good luck finding people. Okay. That sounds good. So I do want to... It's not on my agenda, but speaking of the SDK and the hackathon, and you guys are incredibly busy with this, and this is incredibly important. Everybody wants us to do incredibly well, and I can't stress that enough. So marketing is going to be really important. So I don't want to draw your attention too much away from that need, but I am curious about the SDK and just verifying, I guess, that or confirming that Effect, the network fees are automated with all of that process. So do you have an idea when we'll start seeing automation of the network fees into the DAO rewards or into the fee pool?
So first, the SDK, you have to go out of beta. So that's the first. And at the moment, it's not yet even implemented in the SDK. So I would say by the end of the year. But SDK is now in full development. During the hackathon, the version 0.1 of the SDK, it doesn't have yet fee embedded, but it's there in sort of the development release, right? So soon as the first version of the SDK sort of works, the next update would be the embedded fees, but it will happen this year. That's the timeline we have, in December, and then we're expecting this to be released in December as well on mainnet. But that's of course also necessary for this to be take effect. So at the moment,
it's for the bigger hackathon in January.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The bigger hackathon will be on mainnet, and it will be for real. And then there will be the embedded fees present. But now we're still in the testing phase of the new system, basically.
It's exciting. I know it takes some patience to wait on it all, but it's going to be worth it. Okay. All right, so what's next? Oh, yeah, so we talked about this with David but last week, but it's not really his thing, and just a little bit. And I know we've had some previous discussions on it, but I just want to bring it up with you directly, and you can ponder it or we can talk about it. But we'd really like the token map updated on the DAO dashboard, just the Pi, to include all of the foundation tokens. So, and monies, I guess the right word, funds. So if there's USD funds, so just put that in the Pi. If there's any BTC, put that in the Pi. So amounts are updated. And
I don't think that's not where that should be left. It's like, that's not necessarily public information, but the token map is a token map, right? Foundation tokens are in that map. And that's what it should contain. It's like not, well, the other finances are like not, yeah, they don't need to be shown there. It's not relevant.
Could you just state why? Or there's lots of people feel it should be part of it.
No, it's just not part of it. It's not part of the DAO or of the dashboard. So yeah, not really a topic for that.
Okay.
Are those funds not part of the the fake network, all the funds that have been collected at the ICO stage, or are they different funds other than that? Jesse?
I hardly understood what you said there, Alan. You're breaking up. But these funds are, yeah, of course, WhatsApp has been developed over the last 4 or 5 years by the foundation, is in the foundation, which is a diversification of funds collected from the initial token sale, token distribution, possibly, but I don't know, whatever the foundation has been doing with the funds. It's not public information. It's not going to be published on the dashboard. And it's a very simple thing, yeah, to discuss right now.
The problem that many people have is that they feel that, or we feel that, all the funds raised at the ICO stage should be accounted for, so that we can see where they're sitting. We don't need to know what other funds for the PBR and everything else, but it seems as if people are trying to hide the initial funds.
Can I jump in real quick?
Go ahead.
Yeah, so I think the what the problem is all the money accounted for from the initial ICO investors, where it's at in the foundation. It's sitting, all that money is accounted for in a foundation. Now, whatever the initial ICO holders, if they need more information, then that's something that I guess they need to bring up privately or individually. But I agree with Jesse, it's not an open thing for every newcomer to come in. As long as it says where the tokens are, how much was raised, it's really none of their business what the individual amounts are being invested to, because they weren't even involved in the ICO or the IPO. So it bears no, reference to them, Does that make sense? I mean, that's my outlook on it.
Well, the foundation already reveals how many EFX tokens it has, so it's not like the foundation doesn't show anything at all.
Exactly. There you go.
My opinion is that if the foundation has any cryptocurrency, it would be nice to know what the reserves it has, in the sense that people kind of can expect it to, have some funds along the way. I know you've told us before that BV earns enough that, we can expect the FEC network to be sustainable, but not everyone will know that right away. Most people won't really know the nuances, of what's set up. So if that's possible, it'll be nice. But if know, if the insistence is that it's not going to be publicized, I think it's just make that statement and this will go back to the hackathon discussions.
Yeah, listen, I get it. This been brought up a couple of times. I get where it comes from, but it's just, it's not public information. It will not be publicized. It's part of the foundation's books, which are, you know, the foundation is in Curaçao. There's people doing the books there. They're being reported to the financial department there. But I mean, I don't know what's being expected of it, but like the funds are of course being accounted for in the books and they're not public information. And there's not too much, like, I don't know what you guys think, but there's not too much there, right? It's just, there were some funds left and it's been 4 or 5 years since the ICO and it's being used right now, like when funds are being spent on things like hackathon or whatever, that's, you know, you see that happens. But I don't think it brings any good if that's being publicized in any way. It's going to be a hell of a lot of trouble to even get that done with the foundation and everything, because I wouldn't even know how to arrange that being publicized. So I can tell, I think it's also another topic to discuss right here in these DAO calls. And I think it's just, you can try to contact the foundation and contact whatever and try to get it done or get that information out of that in a private way. If you're an ICO investor, you feel that's your right. I mean, that's up to you. But I don't feel it should be discussed there anymore. I think it's kind of distracting.
Thanks, Jesse. I actually think that's the best answer I've heard yet. So that's something I can deal with. All right. So moving on. The next thing I have is probably Rochelle. An update to TG Mods or Admins. How's the progress on the hunt for that?
Looking back at just trying to keep us on topic, you know, and I should have put a stop to this like last week. That's something we can bring up outside of a DAO meeting because that really has nothing to do with
you. Do realize we're also part of the DAO, right?
Yes.
I mean, this is our meeting, right? So, is there...
The Telegram channel is not within the scope of DAO Matters.
Our DAO Matters can be whatever we want to talk about. So, if you want to avoid the question and say you don't want to answer, that's okay. I mean, we can't force you to answer it.
I would like to speak to Bree.
I don't like how you're saying that it's not a DAO Matter.
It's not a DAO Matter for this meeting. We're here to talk about proposals.
Should we have a vote? Should we have a proposal on who decides what a DAO Matter is?
It's already within the scope of the DAO. Proposals, treasury funds, network fees, and like proposal costs and like recycle strategies. The reason why we're talking about a hackathon was because it's part of proposals.
Oh, hackathon, yeah, it's probably the most important aspect of our discussions, but Bree's just listing down various topics that will come up as she does.
It's off topic. It's not even in the scope of the DAO, and we really have to...
It is most certainly within the scope of the DAO.
We
may disagree, but the DAO is like basically a democracy, so... Like,
someone put a proposal up, but then we'll find out.
Yeah, like, I don't really want to do that, because... I mean, it seems like...
No, I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you. We've been put down or being quietened because it doesn't suit at the moment. That's how I see things.
Says on. So a democracy is nothing but adherence to a mob environment. The mob wins all the time. This isn't a mob. So if things need discussed, which if it was put in the proposal already as to what DAO topics are going to be discussed on the DAO meetings, then that's what they go by. Before the DAO meeting starts, just like every professional organization, somebody states what today's topics are, and those are the topics. And then anything spoken outside of that is a distraction. So if something we need to talk about that we can agree on, then that needs to be proposed. And if that isn't within the scope of the current DAO proposal as far as DAO topics, then somebody needs to make a proposal for it. And then we'll vote on it.
It has to be what the DAO has reign over.
Exactly.
No, it doesn't. It does. Why should a conversation that's so ad hoc be precisely about proposals?
Because the DAO
is an organization. This is not proposal call. This is DAO call.
You're correct. But the proposals go in a proposal for any other things that want to be discussed outside of what the already DAO call adherence and guidelines are. I don't know if that's even been done. Like I said, I'm just stating the facts between a democracy and a professional organization and a board of members that decide to meet for progression of a company, you know. Stating it's a democracy.
Well, either way, I mean, I hold like 12% vote share, so I'm probably on the board if this is a board meeting. So, I mean, I don't know, like, this is has already gotten very sidetracked, but I just have to state that I oppose Rochelle just saying arbitrarily that things, you know, shouldn't be discussed because it's not related to the DAO, when, Rochelle, you're just, you know, another DAO member out of many here, right? So,
all you're in danger of is splitting the DAO and having just had different DAO meetings.
The DAO are supposed to discuss matters within the control of the DAO.
The DAO doesn't necessarily need to discuss things that are within its control because things that are not within our control still affect us, right?
Like, I think we should be able to discuss anything. And if we're out of line, then like the answer Jesse gave today, that was a really good answer. There's nowhere left to speak on this topic after that answer. He gave a direction. If we continue to have concerns about it individually, then to address it with the foundation directly. That is a fantastic answer. End of story. There's nowhere room left on that discussion. But if we're not allowed to generate our ideas,
my answer to you and I discussing separately about Telegram, because that is not something that's in the DAO right now.
But I'm also just the messenger. I am still just taking comments, discussions, sore points, happiness points, whatever, right, from the community. And I'm doing my best to listen to DAO members, but I'm also doing my best to listen to non-DAO members as it might relate to DAO. And if it turns out something is not DAO related, then give us a reason, a statement, a direction, and then we can move on. What happens is we don't always have clear direction. It's an opinion or it's an avoidance. And what we need is just direct, which Jesse gave today on that topic. So as the messenger who's writing up the notes, as far as I'm concerned, that was a brilliant answer and we're done. Anyone still has a problem, they can go to the foundation directly. So it's a done discussion. But to stop us from bringing up a topic, that's almost censorship. And that's not, I don't think that's what we need here.
It's not. I suggested that we handle the Telegram chat outside of this meeting one-on-one because it's not anything with the DAO. So we can move on with the DAO meeting.
Okay.
So I'm not censoring anything. It just doesn't have anything to do with the actual DAO matter right now. Or at any time.
Well, I think you should have phrased it better and said that you two can talk it out, because the whole, you know, this is not a DAO matter thing, just, you know, it's, I don't know, annoys me. Since, you know, it's what the DAO matter is basically up to us to decide. And if it's like something that can be discussed at a different time, you know, by specific people, I mean, that's fine.
Does Hey, and sometimes I just forget that something's already been addressed. So just a gentle reminder can help. All right, anyway, back to the agenda. That's all I had for team discussion. Does anybody have anything else you want to bring up?
Is anyone here participating in the hackathon? Are you participating, Alex?
Well, I was kind of wary of participating. I think my friend Femi may participate. I didn't want to participate because, you know, I have so much vote share. I don't know, it may seem unethical, you know. If I, like, vote for myself, I don't know.
Yeah.
But my friend
is participating.
So.
I think it's fair. I think people from the DAO can participate and vote on themselves. I think that's within the rule. So, that's a good question. I didn't think about it. What if the...
Generally, yeah, but I have a big share, so people will definitely complain, I think.
You can lean on your vote there. If you feel
eligible. Because you're eligible for, you know, the prizes of the DAO Awards, so why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You can't really have to vote your own project.
Femi convinces me to join this team. I may participate and abstain from voting for myself, but I think Femi's very interested, so I think he just left, but I think he's interested. We'll see if my other friend's interested, but he just got a job, so he may be too busy.
Yeah, I think you should participate. And I think it's fine to vote. I mean, it's a bit unethical, but like, you have a lot of vote weight, but still, I mean, if you have a great, great project, you have a little bit of an edge, but still there's seven prizes, like, right? And you can vote yourself maybe to one or two or three, but there's seven prizes. I think it's ethical to do it.
Yeah, it's like a majority shareholder, 51%, you know? I mean, it's his right, it's his money, it's his investment, you know, it's his to do with what he wills, and if that's how he wants to vote, then that's how he wants to vote, you know?
What if
I wouldn't vote like that anyway, because I want people complaining at me.
People will complain, brother. It doesn't matter what you do or how much good you do.
I know it would annoy Alan, and I don't want to annoy Alan.
It's a competition. It's like, I mean, drugs, isn't it? It's got an unfair advantage.
Oh, you're so broken up, Alan.
I think he said something about unfair advantages.
Yeah. I don't know.
And also, I kind of want to see other people participate because, like, you know, I'm a really lazy person, so I want to find, I hope some hardworking person, like, just learns of, you know, the Effect Network and, like, just falls in love with it, you know, and then wins a prize and then gets really into it.
That would be ideal.
That's what I'm hoping for as well, to get some, because the prize money is pretty good, so I hope we get some kids that are like, yeah, just program something really cool and then get involved with the project afterwards. Maybe they buy some EFX to be a high level DAO member so they can vote their own projects to the prizes.
Yeah, nothing.
Yeah, it's last time I checked, that effects was pretty low, so it's a good opportunity for that.
Yeah. Yeah, so obviously, like, effects team members like here, we cannot or won't participate. Because that would be an unfair advantage, but I think anyone from the community and anyone from the DAO is like totally free to participate if you look at the rules.
Yeah, if anything, if you can help developer get more people on board, that's the ultimate goal. And yeah, it's a bit shady, I guess, like that it might be like a little bit cool, but you can also decide to just abstain in your vote if you feel queasy about it.
Yeah.
We're looking for the best project, aren't we? We're not looking for the one that's got the most things. because that's all you're encouraging, is this respect to insult, not talking about bad projects, but lots of ethics. And then the competition. That's what we're looking for. But we're looking for us.
Yeah, if I participate, it won't. To Femi's chagrin, I wouldn't necessarily want to, you know, go for any reward. I don't know. Like you suggested, you need people to help moderate, but like I'm not that proficient, you know, in a node. So I don't know if I'll be able to help, you know, people just starting out as much as I could, like, you know, otherwise.
Yeah, I don't know. We don't necessarily need more help. I think we have the support team right now is 5 people that are here full time on it. So, and basically we were expecting 1 or 2 hours a day to do support, right? In total, like across the 5 people. So not each even. But I think the support team is big enough. But it's more like an open invitation if you want to be like involved in the organization and management of the hackathon. That's like DAO members can I think apply for it and we'll assign it to you. It also means you cannot participate, because if you're part of the organization of the hackathon in DevPost, you're not allowed to participate. But I think we, the team right now, support is big enough, but it's like open for anyone in the DAO to also apply for that position. The more people, the merrier, of course. The more you can help the participants. It's also fun for them. But 5 people we have now is definitely more than enough to get it done.
That sounds good. Well, maybe, Alex, you can build something out for me and we'll join as a team. I only have ideas. And then you can vote for me instead of you. And you can have all the prize money if you win. Because you're building it anyway. Okay. All right. Moving on. Unless there's more to talk about on this topic. I'm going to jump to open discussion. And then I need to go to something a little bit more serious. So open discussion. I was looking into potentially placing an ad, and I'll admit this week was just incredibly busy, so I didn't get a lot of time. Lots of in and outs in my house this week, but I did look at Brave Browser. Someone suggested Brave Browser to place ads there because it was a significantly high proportion of crypto users, like 75% or something there. But for their basic package, push ads, and it'd be about $10,000 US for 30 days. And I left a pamphlet in, an information pamphlet in the DAO chat channel. And I have no concept, really, honestly, about what the cost of advertising is. But for me, 10K seems like a lot of money, but maybe in that location and what it might bring in isn't a lot of money. So maybe people could just consider that and give some feedback on whether that's even worth looking at anymore or whether that's something to push further ahead with. And that could be either for helping to promote the hackathon, and for 10K, I would say the major hackathon, not the minor one, and or pushing the EFX token out for actual market crypto awareness. So some feedback on that would be nice.
I wonder, in comparison, Jesse, you mentioned DevPost has its own advertisement package, and it was pretty expensive. Do you remember the price of that?
Bio break.
Because I wonder how much they charge. Because if Yeah, it's hard to, like, I'm not in marketing, but it's like a tough thing because you, like, with those types of things, we need like also good metrics. I don't know how Brave does it. If they give you like, I'm sure they'll do like clicks and stuff, but you would want to do more than that. You'd probably want to, like, you know, see how many people come in from Brave, like from whatever is being linked, make sure, you know, they're staying there long, that they're like good clicks. Because I know in the past there are ways to like game Brave, like you could abuse the ad system to kind of print you bad tokens. I don't know if they fixed that, but I remember people doing that. And yeah, ads, and it's tricky. Like for me, I've always kind of been wanted to wait, you know, until SDK development version is out. But maybe on the Reddit, and maybe on Reddit, it would be good if there's like some blockchain programming subreddits. Like, then that would be a really targeted market that wouldn't be too expensive because it's like a really targeted. But I think it'll like suit our niche and stuff like that.
Yeah, I got some connections in the marketing, digital marketing, internet stuff, and I can run some things by him to see what would be more cost beneficial as far as Medium, something like that, or a broad browser ad or something on Brave itself, and then get some metrics and everything and what we can expect.
Well, that would be great.
I'm sorry, Brie. What we need to remember is who we're targeting, and that is developers and programmers. So, for the hackathon, advertising in Brave would be too ideal because that's just targeting everybody. And how Brave does their ads is it's location-based by country. So my work with the marketing team for this, we identified that universities, incubator hubs, targeted communities for that subject in Reddit are good. Mailing list. There's also hackathon promotion places that also further funnel out things. So the press release is, I think, finalized today, and then it's going to start going out to reporters and PR managers in the science and technology fields. It's set to go out to quite a big list of universities, and Reddit is still being finalized, all the different areas in Reddit for posts and stuff too. So yeah, it's got to be targeted marketing, not broad marketing, and that's what's really going to be helpful.
Yeah, well, the target marketing is actually even easier than, and probably more less expensive. Like, if you want to target organizations or communities like Slack, GitHub, people that access those, use those, have accounts, you know, you can get data and, you know, purchasable accounts, not, you know, not buying accounts, but purchase information on who uses that and things like that, and then you do your targeted marketing that way.
Pretty confident with that. We have planned too with that. Those are the areas we're working on. And like Jesse mentioned earlier, the Dev Post newsletter is going to be gold as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we just want to help out or look at the possibility of helping out. I mean, another option too is promoting joining the DAO. I don't know.
Yeah, but that's a really good point, like that we really need to target an audience of developers. And if we spread out too much on a particular platform like Brave, I think we might be spreading ourselves a bit too short on that. Instead of getting people who know how to use JavaScript, know how to use Node, are familiar with cryptocurrencies, and are willing to build. And I do think that the way the marketing team is approaching it at the moment is going to be effective.
I'm going to be the devil's advocate and say, you know, as part of the community in the DAO, you know, yes, I agree, Mark, and that sounds great. But what if I'm one of these, you know, for lack of a better term, moon boys that, you know, I want all this stuff put on just marketing the token for hype and, you know, math across this. So who determines where it's focused at?
Well, I guess the foundation determines where it wants, and then the DAO fund, you know, initiatives as well. That's what Bree's focusing on, is if we want to fund anything at all, right? And
right.
How should we go about doing it?
Yeah, really, it's a twofold question, right?
So yeah, just well, I understand that. I understand that, but, you know, with Dow Corporation, I mean, why not go as far as say, well, yeah, I vote for marketing, but I don't want it done that way. I want it done at hype, and I want some current market movement, and I want some money dumped into it. You know, why is your option of, marketing towards developers more important than mine? I want my short-term goals.
Oh, yeah,
I'm playing devil's advocate. I'm not saying that's how I want to roll. You know what I'm saying?
Well, the dev plan is definitely a long-term approach. So, like, because you can see it happen whenever, like, there's a YouTube video, right? And there's, like, a big influx. And then after that, there's, like, a big contraction because, like, they're very impatient.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's the market.
Like, one wonders, like, what is the ideal place to market if you want to market to those people? You don't want to just, you know, like, I guess that's something maybe for you to look into, because it's out of my field to really know, like, the ideal, you know, place to market to if we wanted to, you know, bump, you know, some, like, 100,000 EFX worth, you know, of ads just, you know, for exposure, you know, like, I wouldn't really know the best, like, the most ideal place to dump it.
Yeah, most people would, unless you're a professional marketing expert that has those matrix and metrics that they can show you and say, hey, this is the numbers we're looking at here. You know, I mean, I know this is just a rough blanket form talking about what we want to do, you know, but obviously with those plans that we want to do, it's not just a quick execution. All right, let's do marketing. You know, and then comes the research and, you know, the work that goes in afterwards for the plan to make sure it's executed and the money's used wisely.
Well, it might take us a while to really sort this out. And maybe what we're looking at is once the hackathon's done and there's some projects building, is we do an ad campaign for the DAO to get members into the DAO, which would in essence be promoting NFX, which would in turn promote EFX. But the ultimate purpose is to have people join the DAO and to provide reasons why they should. But in order to join the DAO, they need EFX and NFX.
Another scenario I thought of too, for us to fund marketing ventures, is when the SDK is out of beta and it's complete shiny, you know, and usable for any individual or business, you know, that's not necessarily even heavy on programming, you know. Those are our companies that we want to target. And I think once it's out of beta, that the DAO could look at marketing initiatives of marketing the Effect Network almost like software as a service.
In
a non-crypto world. Like how Slack markets, you know, people, businesses to use their Slack service to get their stuff done. We would, the DAO would almost market the Effect Network as that, and then it gets more people using the network, which gets us more fees.
Yeah.
Which gets more money in our pocket. That's my long-term vision, I think, of what I would like to see the DAO do, but it needs to be out of beta first.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I don't think we should talk about crypto too much. The crypto should just be a side part of it. It shouldn't be the main part of like what we're trying to advertise, because that's not what we're building. That's not our product. It facilitates what we're trying to build. But
yeah,
we shouldn't like say that we're necessarily like a cryptocurrency trying to go to the moon, because.
No, I think we're mainstream trying to survive in a crypto world right now. And at some point, that's not going to be that important. And it'll just be a part of, like, I don't know, Canadian Tire Money, I keep thinking of. It's just something that works within.
Yeah.
So just for future thoughts on that, too, for, like, I like the hackathon idea and everything. But really, it does nothing for the network right now. I mean, it's marketing. It's a good marketing hit. But what about hosting our own type of slash hackathon, you know, and developers and participants are given a certain amount of VFX from, you know, the fund or whatever, however they want to do, or they sell it super cheap from whatever. And then those funds, you know, and this is your project, you are to create a crowdsourced, decentralized whatever, you know, and then they come up with how they incorporate it onto the network to have people crowdsource it to, hey, I want this to be my design guy. I want this to be so. I mean, you know how crowdsource works, Rochelle. That's your area there. So, what about something like that?
Isn't that kind of what we're doing now, though? Exactly.
I think it'll be the main difference is you think we should build something for Foundation, like its own dev post, right?
Yeah, something actually built on the network. That's what the hackathon. You know, whatever we host, it's going to be something built that's hosted and that is a creation, you know, that sits on 10. Maybe that's what we're doing. I don't know.
Maybe one day if we have enough users, but at the moment, DevPost has a lot of users that we can tap into like, and reach out to in order to have a bigger hackathon or to doing it ourselves.
Yeah, that's,
that would be great one day.
Yeah, I think for now we have to use DevPost for that reason because that's how we get, you know, a good amount of participants. It's just because we're on that platform, a good price pool.
Yeah, this was more for the long term.
Yeah, the long term vision I had for hackathons when I first like wrote out that proposal is like they become like a quarterly thing because like that. I mean, the main goal is just, you know, keep bringing on devs and keep them coming like. Just keep bringing them in and keep bringing them in every quarter, you know, so we get more and more and more. So maybe like if the network gets big enough, we could do our own thing. But I think as long as we benefit from new participants on DevPost, I think we should go ahead and use that platform.
Oh, yeah. Bring in more and more innovators. Oh, also additionally with the marketing thing for the hackathon, we're also on Eventbrite and that's pretty big, too.
Oh, that is, yeah.
That's cool.
We have our hackathon listed on Eventbrite, and it's online, so everyone can see it.
That's good.
Yeah, I think we need to push more for not really integration, but more crosstalk from the team, per se, or the foundation, or however that works, into talking to these smaller, like Rarible, Polygon and the their NFT creators, their NFT creation platform, and figure out how that works into 10. So, you know, those NFT creatables are accessible through a smart contract, whatever, on 10 for people that want to create, you know, NFTs or whatever. They don't have the skills, so they contract that through 10. People get on there. So these digital artist experts, you know, it's crowdsourced and then, you know, they complete these requests for NFTs and everything to be made from that, you know, whether it's through Rarible, Polygon, Kaleidoscope or whatever all those other NFT creations are, Engine and all that.
I know you have been working on the NFT project, Rochelle. How's that going along? You wanted to like, you know, to create the generator thing.
You mean with that one project that we just had? Use the network?
No, like you remember, like those, like we create NFTs by like putting up, you know, like, you know, the what's it called? The effect pieces, like.
Oh, yeah.
Except like
a
dApp.
That's a dApp I was going to develop and get funded by the DAO for. That way all the proceeds would just go back to the DAO. But all my free time's just stuck with my official duties right now, so I haven't created that DAP yet. And also I need the SDK for that. So, yeah, that's some DAP proposals I'm going to be put forward in the future here. That way, you know, that the DAO can own some dApps on the Effect network. But yeah, it was going to be sort of like pieces. And we would use Effect Force to generate the artwork. And then the NFTs would be listed.
On, yeah, I know. Platforms.
and oh. the sales would go back to the DAO. So.
Right. So for things like that, I know also if the NeuroPepe team, like they used the they were able to, you know, do some tasks on the FECT network. Like there's kind of a market there for classification tasks for any kind of neural type art generation NFTs that need to be tagged.
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder, like, is there cross-chain NFTs between EOS and Ethereum yet? Or is there still, like, kind of blocked?
I'm not sure.
Because I know, I remember, what was it? What's it called, you know, that service that we use to transfer from EOS to Binance Smart Chain? What's it called?
P-tokens.
Yeah, P-tokens. I remember, like, in the Telegram discussion, like, they actually added an EFX Ethereum token. It's kind of, like, randomly. But I wonder, like, is there software yet for cross-chain NFTs, you know, yet or not? But probably not. Because otherwise, like, cause the biggest NFT services are all on Ethereum, right? And after that, I think there's, like, Lana, maybe, and AVAX. There's some on Binance Smart Chain, but they're just not as popular, I think.
Yeah, a lot of them are... I mean, the thing with those are you can create an NFT that's got a cross-chain switch to it. So you can create an NFT on Solana, say, for free, and then switch that and have it over onto the ETH network, you know, on the new ETH 2.0 and whatever frameworks they're doing. So... That's why you don't ever want to create an NFT on ETH itself, you know, through some of those programs, because the minting of it is just ridiculous, though. There's these free platforms to do it.
The cross-chain between all of them is very straightforward, but the EOS, it gets tricky.
Yeah, so EOS is
if we want it on 10, we're going to need, like otherwise they would just need to, you know, copy the image and, you know, upload it themselves to, you know, those L2s, but... it wouldn't be, you know, like an automated thing. So at that point, it's more like we just have a picture generation type app or something.
Yeah, I haven't seen any EOS to ETH cross-chain generation at all yet. I mean, I don't know.
There may be Binance Smart Chain. But yeah, I know, like, basically if we want to deal with lots of NFT stuff, we got to make sure we conform to, like, a standard. But I don't know what the standard is.
No matter the standard, on Effect 4s, people could classify, or with the neural projects, or create the art, right?
Oh, yeah. We're not, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not just talking about an actual EFX NFT creation in the US. That's why my next place I was about to go, keep an open mind, especially you, Rochelle, and talking to the team and everything, NFTs and gaming. Not that we would be creating NFTs for gaming, but what do you have a bunch of in gaming? You've got gold sellers and spammers, right? And how do those gold sellers and spammers sell all that gold? First, they create it, and they got a bunch of, you know, wherever they're at, making all this stuff, and then they sell it. But we're not talking about selling the gold. We're talking about people in a game playing something like, let's say, a space game where they have to mine a bunch of resources in outer space from asteroids. Those resources go onto the blockchain and identified. Now, if with this new rental system of NFTs, say a gamer and an organization of gamers and their company, they don't want to go out and mine all that asteroid and all that iron. They want to pay somebody to do that. So NFT contracts where they rent out the ship through, you know, something on the effects platform, and then they play the game, and then those resources go to that guild. It's pretty complex, but there's a way to do it.
I think generalization of that is right now we're focused on microtasks, but you talked about this with art as well. And Breeze kind of wanted to do something with this too, and that's should we necessarily, like, this is a long-term thing, I think. We definitely are specialized in microtasks, but should we kind of, like, expand to just any task? Like, complex, yeah, you know, tasks. Like, basically,
it's a workforce.
Yeah.
It's a worldwide workforce.
Like, if you want to, you know, have someone draw something, you can have, like, a specific person draw something for EFX. That could be, like, a long-term goal as an addition, you know, to the specialization.
That's how these places, you can curate your workforce to do specific things. And part of that is making a qualifier, you know, and awarding that certification to the worker.
Can a qualifier be specific to an individual?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so like
Oh, it's more like a UI type thing then, right?
Yeah.
Like theoretically, you could use the SDK to have like a list of artists and you click on them and you create a task for them for say like, I want an art piece with, you know, these features and I'll give you like 5,000 EFX and only one single individual will see that task for them, right? Okay, so that's great. So that's really more than just, we just need to create a front end for that.
Yeah.
Someone may already build that.
So someone
at some point
build a front end and then connect to Effect Force and then that's it. Yeah, that's what I'm going to have during the hackathon is a presentation on how you can curate your workforce, how you can create learning opportunities to train people to do exactly what you want and then, you know, add them to your arsenal of qualified people. It's a huge scope of things that are possible, and that's what's got me so excited with Effect Force, because it's decentralized. Like, anybody can do this.
You'll mind my asteroids, minions.
Yes, you could actually set up a training thing and a qualification where they
I know.
Show, I play this game, this is my username, this, and then you give them that certification, and then you can put on the task, I need you to mine for an hour in this game, you know, here, take this task, and, you know, there's your EFX for it.
And they don't even have to have their own spaceship. I can rent that out to them. So I've already got stuff like this in the works right now.
Yeah,
so
and that is
that's, remember...
possible using Effect Force to find people to mine for you with these games and things. So, like user tester companies, you know, and application builders when they need people to test out their application or their software or their process, you put those on as a task, and you pay people to test out. Your app or whatever in the task on the platform, and all the metadata is depending on how you set up your task. So you've got all your stuff. Yeah, there's so much to do on this platform.
Yeah, it's pretty cool actually when you think about it.
And at a real basic level, you know, Bobby Bot Larry could be a data all tagged on what. What color is the background? What color is his hands? What color is his face? Is there texture? You know, things like that. That could be done too.
Yeah, and you can change the metadata on it where every time it passes hands and it's resold, the user can change one or two instances on whether it's the color or, you know, something like that. Maybe it's an accessory that you can, you know, pick that he has, like a different hat every time it changes hands. So that metadata of the hats are in there, just not activated until it changes hands. Then that new user gets to pick what he wants Bobby Bot to look like.
Exactly.
So I'm hoping... Although
Bobby...
That's what that's what me and Bree are working on.
I'm hoping
Rochelle
attracts people who make user interface run-ins and then connects it to Effect Force and actually trains the workforce, gets them qualified, and pays them to do things that interact with their UI.
Rochelle, a while ago you mentioned something about the DAO needing to moderate tasks or something.
Yeah, okay, so eventually, as more of it is all decentralized out, the validation is all going to be done on-chain. And there will be, like, excuse me, all the validation will be on-chain, like, public. The DAO will end up being in charge of things, and they're going to need to moderate requesters and how requesters, like the task content they put up. If there's a requester putting up stuff that the DAO just does not want on the network, you know, put a resolution to block them from using Effect Force. block workers from completing tasks on Effect Force because they're scamming. There's all kinds of moderation that we'll go through the DAO with proposals and things. And the DAO, I can see eventually hiring or compensating people to validate stuff on Effect Force, depending on what capacity. There's a lot to do there.
Yeah, that'll be important because once everything's public, we don't want people trying to, you know, trick the workers into like giving up their private keys or something.
Yeah. I ran into this on other microtasking platforms where requesters would come in and it would just have stuff that if the people running the platform knew about, they would have taken right off. Eventually there's going to be unsavory requesters and apps using Effect Force, and the DAO being in charge needs to be able to put a resolution through and remove them from using the network. So
we'll need I wonder if we'll need like some sort of like streamlined system, because we wouldn't want to do it for proposals because they could whip up another account, right?
Yeah, there's stuff being worked on and planned out for the decentralized validation for that, because it's easy to decentralized, you know. The trick is turning it all decentralized.
Right.
Okay, I have one more topic I want to talk about, and this one's a little, I think this is an important one, and it has to do with the High Guard. So I know, Alan, your microphone's been kind of funky today, so I'm not sure if you can say anything, but if we don't already have it, which I'm not aware of, but we need a protocol for when somebody needs to reach the High Guard or get support from like phishing attacks, things like that, immediately. Like, these are really quick. There can be very, very quick, like time sensitive. We need a process in place where we can get a hold of or call the High Guard to support, or right, because if Chris is busy, if Jesse's busy, if Lawrence, if all the team is busy, we still need to be able to help these people, or at least determine if they qualify for the help. So there has to be some way, some protocol in place that can activate that chain of support. We've got a current case where someone's requested support, and it's been, I think it was Friday or Saturday, the initial contact, and he still hasn't heard back from anybody other than myself. And I'm not part of the High Guard, so it's not something I can initiate or make any call on.
I saw that. I read on it, and I contacted someone from the High Guard about it, and I saw when you were going to be in here about it.
So we need a protocol or a known method of activating that in a timely manner. Fortunately, there doesn't seem to be a major rush in this particular case, in that the compromise happened some time ago and no tokens have been moved, so there's an assumption that there's a little bit of time to deal with this one. But what if there wasn't? What if this was an immediate thing, that there was a crisis moment happening and we have 5 days to deal with it, because that's the EFX done stake time frame?
With the person I got a hold of, they referenced that when the High Guard did this before, it was an exception because it was a DAO member, and the amount at stake was huge. And so this person said it was like an exception, but if we were going to do this for other people in like the future, it would require a smart contract update. So this is something we'd have to put through proposal, and then the High Guard accept it, and then a channel and a way to facilitate things, you know, would be made. And then when the issue happens, you know, again in the future, then it's just a quick, I guess, call to the High Guard and High Guard resolution, and then they execute, you know, and act fast. But those actions would have to require a smart contract update going forward, because that was just a one-off that they did before.
Yeah, there was something I remember reading.
They hard-coded it into the smart contract?
I forget what they did.
Okay, well, I'm gonna go look back at the documents I'm thinking of and see if I can find what I'm remembering.
Is the process we're going for here is like some sort of way to request that funds associated with one EOS account are moved to another?
Well, specifically funds staked in the DAO.
Yes, staked in the DAO, because that's only what the DAO has control of.
For DAO members. Right? Now, there might be a set criteria. Like, Rochelle might be right. Maybe this needs to go into proposal.
Yeah, it does.
For approval with set criteria. And if all criteria are met, then a procedure set in place to activate the support, right?
Yeah, so
I guess there should be two, I think. There should be a request for freeze, and then maybe after that a request for transfer. Because, like, if you lose your credentials, there's, like, you know, the five-day stake period for EFX and 15 for NFX. Mm-hmm. For you, it's preferable to freeze it, right? You don't necessarily. And maybe the process for freezing is less strict than withdrawal.
Right.
Less strict than transfer, because, you know, with a freeze, there's time to figure things out, like who actually owns these tokens. Was it actually, you know, a compromise or not? But then the transfer, like, once you're transferred, like, it's not like you can't really undo that easily, right?
Ownership. Yeah, so if we...
This is a good thing to have.
Yeah, like, that sounds like a good idea. Like, you see a very common feature in ERC-20 tokens where you can freeze funds for these specific reasons.
Yeah, so if the funds can be frozen until an investigation occurs, mm-hmm. then there's no worry about the funds being released through an unstake to somebody else through a scammer or whatever.
And then research can go through, and then that would give the High Guard time to do a proposal. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
The only thing is we may want the minimum amount, because there's a limited amount of work, you know, the High Guard probably do. You know, we don't want to, like, them to be suddenly dealing with, you know, thousands of people who say had, like, you know, $100 worth of tokens compromised. Like, they wouldn't be able to deal with everyone.
Yeah, right. It has to be a good amount.
So should that be the High Guard then to establish what they feel is a base amount?
Well, that's for us collectively as a DAO to figure out. So I think what we need to do is come up with a proposal for it.
Okay.
You know, almost like a sentiment one first, you know, is this worth exploring? Do you guys like this? You know, yes or no. And then maybe that passes, then, you know.
Well, I can't come anybody with liking the idea of the safety net.
I know, but you never know. and then do another proposal, you know, with more meat and potatoes on it.
Okay, so then the other point I want to bring up is, what if it's not a DAO member, but someone who's been staking much like when we were generating NFX, so they have NFX to claim and it's not being claimed, but they've paid attention to pretty much everything except maybe the last 6 months or last year for whatever reason. Maybe they're in hospital in a coma, who knows? But they've got NFX and they've got EFX, and it's a significant amount. It's been automatically transferred, but they just haven't signed the constitution. Would I'd that still be a potential qualifier?
I'd say anything staked, and then especially any NFX. That's my opinion.
Yeah, yeah, I'm kind of with you on that one, but I just want to put it out there. So not specifically signed constitution, but if you have EFX and NFX.
Of a minimum amount.
Of a minimum. Okay.
Yeah.
And then the NFX, I don't recall, but if it wasn't claimed, you remember when we were generating and you had to claim it? Yeah. If it wasn't claimed, was that still moved over into the current system?
Yeah, it's still claimable. I specifically asked that question, and yes, it's still claimable on the dashboard.
How much is still claimable, do you know?
Oh, how much is left to be claimed?
Yeah, how much is left to be claimed is, you know, stuck, still left being unclaimed.
I did not get that amount. I didn't think to ask that.
So if we have a compromised account that has NFX generated but not claimed, are those NFX still eligible, or would it be possible to still salvage those NFX?
Yeah, I think so. Because they're still claimable, so...
Okay.
I think there's just no explicit claim button. You gotta, like, I think, interact with the DAO in some way, I think.
Yeah,
you have to, like,
we can't see it
do something.
Claimed ours.
Okay, I'm gonna work on a proposal for this then. And I'll maybe throw it your way and just get someone else to check it over before I post it. Get some input in it. And I'll try and do that for this coming cycle. And I apologize if it doesn't get done for this cycle. It's been crazy for me, but I will try get out in the next day or two.
But yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, and I did see it, and I knew we'd be discussing it today, so that's why I went and got the answers.
I was thinking about it for a while, but until it was really brought to my attention this weekend, it kind of just got phased out in the back of all the noise of everything else going on. And then this weekend it just got brought back to the surface again, and I realized this is really a big part of what the DAO is about and how it can support its members, and it needs to be really addressed. And it was kind of worrisome, having been in this position before, that we couldn't get immediate feedback for support. Had this been a crisis moment for that person, this, you know, even if there was support for them, it might have been too late by now. Or even if there is, we don't know because we haven't had feedback. So anyway, I'm going to get a proposal put together on this, and I'll run it past a few people and try and get it posted. I think Friday we've got, or is it tomorrow they have to be posted? This cycle.
Anyway, yeah, I think they have 48 hours, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's early Friday for me. I've got to get it posted. Okay, that's...
The only other thing is, depending on workload, since this is something we're punting for the High Guard to do, right? As, like, once the process gets established?
Yeah. Well, remember, the High Guard also have a say on, you know, they'll have an opportunity to look at the proposal before actually...
Oh, no, I'm just saying, like, if there is, like, a sufficient workload, we may want to consider also adding, like, some sort of, you know, EFX compensation if it's, like, you know, a bunch of people they have to deal with. If it's, like, you know, one or two people a week, maybe not, but, like, if you got to deal with, you know, like, 100 people... in a 2-week period, maybe they should be compensated for, you know, all the work into dealing with all these cases and stuff like that.
I'm not sure compensation if it's required. So yeah, people are putting work in. I think there's compensation that could be valid. But I don't know, but maybe I'll check in with a few of the High Guard members just to see how much work they think it might be and what value might be needed
for that. Like, the way I envision it is, like, you may have, like, people occasionally losing. Okay, so first we're dealing with people who got compromised in the past, right? So there's probably a big backlog, right? Like, as soon as one person learns that, you know, or as soon as we initiate the process and the initial trickle of people realize they can actually apply for this, there's going to be probably word of mouth that eventually spreads to all everyone else, right?
Because, potentially it could become a snowball effect for a little while anyway.
Yeah, so there may be like a big amount initially to deal with all these cases. So I don't necessarily want to, you know, dump a bunch of work on the High Guard without, you know, some sort of incentive, you know, as a thank you for doing all the... Because I don't want to do that, you know.
Maybe I'm misunderstanding this. I thought it's to deal with, like, stuff, like, once we get this in place, it deals with someone who just had it happen to them. Because it can't really do anything to anything in the past.
Well, in the past, I mean, it's possible that there are compromisers who don't necessarily take the faked tokens because they're unaware of the platform.
So there's people might come out of the work and be like, well, this stuff's still sitting there.
Okay, so Rochelle, there's two things with the past, right? One thing is, in the past, this event happened and that person knew about it and did nothing about it. The other thing, the other point for the past is, the hack happened a while ago, but the person wasn't aware of it, and the second they're aware of it, they seek out support, but the actual event happened in the past. But the awareness is only happening now.
Gotcha. So this can only happen to staked stuff. So if a compromised account, the hacker, didn't know that those tokens were staked and they just did what about their business, but the original person was like, hey, these are still staked there. I can see them. Can I get them? Okay, now I get you. Now I know.
Great.
What I mean. Yeah.
So we don't really care if the account, I mean, on our end, right? We don't really care if their account is hacked and all the tokens are gone. That's not relevant to us. What we want to know is, do they have tokens staked?
Yeah.
And are they unable to access them anymore? And can we help them out with those specific tokens? That's it. Beyond that, if you lost 5,000 EOS or IQ tokens, that's not our problem.
So this could also help, too, people who have lost their keys. They have no way to back them up, and their stuff is staked.
Exactly. Okay. Doesn't necessarily need to be a scammer who's got a hold of them. It could be somebody who staked a year ago, and they had a house fire, and their passcodes were lost.
We have to keep in mind, though, that we're going to need a lot of evidence, because we don't want to be in a position where this gets abused to steal people's tokens too, right?
Yes, that's another thing.
Exactly. So I like the idea of the freezing to allow for time to investigate.
Yeah.
And under that, and maybe this is another proposal, first proposal is just to put it out there like we're having this discussion. Second proposal, hash out those details on the requirements, on the criteria that need to be met, the evidence that needs to be present to show ownership. And that's not easy, especially if it's not somebody who's well known to us, right? Or an account, because nobody really knows the people. But if it's an account that we don't know very well, it's going to be harder for that person to provide the appropriate evidence. And what type of evidence would be accepted? That might be a judgment call by the High Guard.
And that also introduces an issue, because would people really want to give the High Guard the power to just, you know, move tokens from one account to another? Yeah, that's like tricky heavy. Thing because
it's heavy.
Yeah.
It's a very strong power.
Or every single case, the evidence, it goes through the High Guard. The High Guard collects everything, looks at it, makes sure there's enough there, and then the Dao becomes the judge and jury. But think of the High Guard as the lawyer presenting the fact.
Yeah, we may need some confirmation as well, because otherwise you're kind of creating a scenario where I don't think the High Guard could do it, but they could in essence kind of, it's kind of, you know, kind of like a Roman Empire type thing where they're like, well, you know what, we'll just take all the Dao tokens for us, and then now we're in charge. So, of course, they're not going to do that, but it kind of innately creates that power, so...
Mm-hmm.
People may be skeptical of it, like newcomers, you know, because like I think even you of all people have been saying that the High Guard is not an elected position, just an appointed one, right? So,
well, I think we need to have an elected position, but at this point they are our safety net, and as Dao members, if our tokens are compromised either through loss of the key or through a scam where those tokens are still present in the staking, that is a form of protection of our members too, right? And supporting our members. But the evidence needs to be strong enough that there's no doubt that those tokens belong with this. I don't know. I don't really know how to go
about it. The initial freeze action would need to be passed by a resolution.
Yeah.
And then a new proposal would have to be created where the person presents all the evidence and stuff, and then the Dao says yeah or no, and then, of course, then the High Guard reviews it if it's voted yes, and then...
Like, it may be better to have, like, some sort of... Like, you know how we have... Jesse is building this... Like, he's forking the smart contract for something that can be more reactive... For the hackathon, for the DAO voting,
that's what I'm
we may want that as well for compromised accounts. And so, like, let's say, like, the High Guard passes, like, only they can submit proposals, and like the proposal is basically freeze this account. And for it to freeze, you need a minimum, you know, of
consensus.
X amount of votes or something.
Yeah.
And then to transfer, you need a minimum of something else, like something even higher. That way, the DAO is always in control of who actually, like, the DAO is always going to be in control of the actual transfer. The High Guard just kind of sets proposals up, initiates them.
Right.
Maybe that'll make it, like, more, you know, the process more, you know, like, less, I don't know the word for it, but if we give it all to the High Guard, it's a very strong power.
Yeah, no, I like your idea there.
I like your fork idea. So then there would be a way for any user to be able to put a freeze proposal through, and then the DAO members are all notified, hey, there's a freeze proposal to vote on it in 24 hours or whatever. The DAO votes, and as long as a quorum has been made and it passes, then the user is notified, okay, here's a way to submit all of your proof and research and explain all the details, then that automatically gets put into a proposal for the DAO to vote on. You know, once it's free, then they're like, yeah, this person is who they're saying is. It is this scenario. Yes, we want their funds to be refunded to them or moved, you know.
Or
the High Guard for review as just a checks and balance.
Yeah.
I think the High Guard review should just come first, and only the High Guard can like submit a proposal. It's not something we want to constantly check, right? So it would be nice for the High Guard to kind of just like filter out, you know, the cases of which, you know, are worth voting on or not.
But I think it should be all of us, and not, because then
Well, I guess they could. I mean, we could do it all, but like the other thing is, if you're if you have a hacked DAO account, you will need another DAO account, right?
There you go. Open the matrix on that one.
Oh, I guess it makes sense because basically they would say this account was hacked. Please transfer it to me, right? That's what the proposal will be. Mm-hmm. They create a new DAO account, and this is the account they want the funds transferred to. Is that how we're gonna? How it would work?
I think once it's approved, then they create a new account. You know, like once the freeze and all that stuff has been voted on, then the person creates a new account so the stuff could be moved. Like, you'd have to go...
But how do they... But they need to create the initial proposal to do that.
So Alan sent me a message, because I know Mike's not talking, and he says, we're overthinking this and making it more difficult than it needs to be.
I can hear him saying that.
I know.
I hear it in his voice.
I know. Me too. Yes, but he can't get in. Okay.
Oh, I got to hit it again. I'm sorry, Alan.
I asked him if he had any input. He said yes. Okay, we're listening, Alan.
Are you talking because we don't hear you?
Can come up with the exact solution. I know he is.
Well, I have to go, but I think definitely you can pass try to get a sentiment proposal up, because I mean this is something that even if it may be urgent for some people, the process is definitely going to be an important thing that needs to be kind of really hashed out. And maybe in the interim between the hackathons will be a good time to do it. But yeah, it's definitely a sentiment proposal to see how the rest of the DAO thinks about it, but I gotta go. So I'll see you all next week, and I think that's when the hackathon starts, right? So hopefully it starts great. Yep.